This morning we're going to look at the problem of evil, and we're going to look at man. That's quite a sight, man. This Psalm 8, which we just sang, speaks about that. What is man that he should be loved and visited by thee, raised to an exalted height, crowned with glory in thy sight? How great thy name. Man was made gloriously as the climax of creation and as the center of creation. That's us, people. That's how we were made. And it's important to see that. Very, very important to see that, because, of course, we don't see man in that same position right now. Something terrible has happened. But Jesus came and restored us and has opened paradise for us. That paradise from which Adam and Eve were driven out of. That is opened again. Just like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, who was far from a good man. He was a criminal, but he was forgiven. And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And so that's what Jesus says to all who love Him, who trust in Him, who believe in Him, who have confessed their sins and trust in Jesus Christ. He says the same thing to us. You will be with me in paradise. So I'm going to read this morning from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the verses 26 to 31, and then chapter 3, 1 to 15. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Of course, you know the very first verse of Genesis 1 is, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And then the first verses up until 26, you have the creation of all the things that God made. First day on through the sixth day. And then in the end of the sixth day is verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and to all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Now to chapter 3. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." So far the reading of the book of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 3. Now, Lord's Day 3 of our Heidelberg Catechism on page 10 in the back of our hymnals. The second Lord's Day, which we saw last time, is that how do you come to know your misery from the law of God, and then is the law the summary of the law, and can you live up to it? No, I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. Now, Lord's Day 3 asks this question, really, whose fault is this? Did God create man so wicked and perverse? And the answer is no. God created man good and in His own image, that is, in true righteousness and holiness, that he might truly know God, his Creator, love Him with all his heart, live with Him in eternal happiness for His praise and glory. Then where does man's corrupt nature come from? From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are born sinners, corrupt from conception on. But are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. So here we see the man God made, the man made, and the man remade. Before we open these glorious truths of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we look at this story of how You made us, and how man fell into sin, and how there is hope and redemption in Christ. Lord, we pray that You will bless this message and bless our hearts and open our hearts to receive this glorious truth, that we may trust in Jesus Christ, and that we may look away from our own selves and trust in Him alone. We thank You, Lord, that our only comfort is that we are not our own, but we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The problem of evil is a problem that really everyone has to face because it's everywhere. Every single country, every single tribe, every single group of people has to face evil. There's evil all around us, wherever you go. There is no place on earth where there's not evil. And that's a terrible thing. Our boys and girls, as they grow up, they face evil. There was a book written a number of years ago, which said, "Whatever Happened to Sin?" And the reason for that book was because there were all kinds of leaders, educators, psychologists, psychiatrists, and so on who were saying that it's really not sin. There's mistakes that people make, there's mistakes and there's errors and there's difficulties and trials, but let's not call it sin. And so this man, his name was Menninger. He developed the Menninger Clinic in Kansas. He wrote this book, Whatever Happened to Sin? And that's a good question because it is actually sin. That's the problem. Sin is the problem. And it's very important to understand the right problem. As we saw last week, you have to understand the problem in order to get to the solution. That's the way it is in medicine. It's the way in repairing cars. It's that way in school, in any area of life. You've got to understand the problem in order to get the right solution. And so this particular question of this morning is, whose fault is sin? Whose fault is it? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Oh, there's a lot of disagreement on that. There was a philosopher who was a Frenchman named Rousseau who said, man is basically born neutral. He followed the theologian called Pelagius, who lived at the time of St. Augustine, who had a big argument with St. Augustine over this very issue. Where did evil come from? And Pelagius said, everybody is born with a, and this is what Rousseau said, with a clean slate. Everybody is born just plain neutral. And whatever evil comes, it comes from the outside. It's your environment. It's the impact that others have on you. And bad friends and bad culture and all these things, that's what really makes you change that, and then you'll have good people. In our own country, I remember when President Lyndon Johnson was president, he said, here's the way to get the great society. And the theme of his program was the great society. And the way to do it was to improve the housing of people, improve their education, improve their medical care, improve the wages. So we increase the minimum wage. And in other words, you've got to improve all of the surrounding things, all that which impacts people. Improve that, and you're going to have better people. Did it work? Has the crime rate gone down? Has the amount of money we spent on education, medicine, housing, all these things gone up? Enormously. Has there been improvement in human character? Are the jails less full? Is there less need for police? Is there less poverty? Well, you know the answer to that. It hasn't worked. Do you know why it didn't work? Because that's not the real problem. Jesus addressed that problem in His day. His disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. The Pharisees just climbed all over them and said to Jesus, you know, your disciples, they're really not following the laws of Moses. They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus said, you know what? You guys got it all wrong. It's not what comes into your body that pollutes you. It's what comes out of your heart that pollutes you. You know where adulteries, murders, lying, and all those sins come from? They don't come from the outside. They come from the inside, from the heart of man. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah already says, man's heart is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? The problem is inside. That's the problem. It's not the outside. It's the inside, first of all, which is the problem. Now, whose fault is that? Did God create man so wicked and perverse? Did God create an inferior product? You know, if you buy a new car and immediately you have a problem with, let's say, the water pump or just anything, you go back to the dealer and say, here, I got a warranty. I got a brand new car, and here, this is a problem. And the dealer will say, well, I'm sorry, it's probably, you know, a defective part. And so we'll replace it for free. Is that what happened with mankind? When God made man, did He make an inferior product? So that it was inevitable that he'd fall. Because, you know, he just didn't have it all together. Did man have it all together when God made him? Now, the evolutionist says, no, he didn't. In fact, God didn't make him. He just came out of a long process of natural selection. I mentioned that last week. That's something which is the prevalent view in colleges and universities all over the world. That we are the product of natural selection and evolution, and we're working out the tiger and the ape in us. Now, you know that's not true. I hope you know that. I hope you know that man is uniquely created from the hand of God, and he was created good and in God's image. He was created absolutely perfect. There was no deficiency in man at all. None. Man was a perfect image of God. He was God's son, God's daughter. Man was related to God as a father to a child. In fact, in the genealogy of Jesus, Luke chapter 3, it follows Jesus' genealogy, his father, all the way back. Finally, it comes to Adam. And then you know what Adam is called in Luke chapter 3? Adam, the son of God. Adam was the son of God. And the relationship between God and Adam was like a father to a son. And God to Eve, a father to a daughter. God made man perfect in His own image. And there was a covenant that God made with Adam. A relationship of love. A relationship of intimacy. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings," Hosea says to the Israelites. Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me, says the Lord. Like Adam, they broke the covenant. God had made a covenant with Adam. And that covenant was a covenant of friendship. And God and Adam and Eve were closer than brothers, closer than family. There was an intimacy. God and man just lived together and loved each other. And God gave to man marvelous, marvelous privileges. Psalm 8 describes it. What is man that he should be loved and visited by thee? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. You have made him a little lower than God and crowned him. Crowned him. That means man was royalty. Man was given a crown. He was crowned with glory and honor. And all things were put under man's and woman's dominion. And man had to, he just had the whole world right before him. And everything was for God, and Adam and God were in complete cooperation and love and friendship. It was the most beautiful, precious relationship that could be possibly imagined. Adam and God were just really close. Couldn't be closer. The only difference between Adam and God was that God was the creator and Adam was a creature. There was that creator-creature distinction. That's for sure, and that always will be throughout all eternity. Man will never become the creator. Man will never become God. Even though that's exactly what Satan tempted Eve that she would be. Like God. So Adam was made, Adam and Eve were made absolutely perfect. It's not God's fault. And it's so important to see that wonderful beginning of mankind. That's absolutely essential. And you kids, as you go on to school, maybe university, and all of that, you're going to hear all about evolution. And you see, this flies in the face of the fact that man was created good. He was created up here, and he fell. But you see, the evolutionist says that man came from down here, and he's coming up. You see, that's just exactly not the way it is. Man was made good, and it's so important to see that the beginning of man was perfect, and that he fell, and that through Christ alone we receive His blessing and grace and salvation and redemption and forgiveness. So, the man God made was without any fault whatsoever. Perfect. But then the unthinkable happened. The unimaginable happened. Man who was in such a close relationship with God, so close. One day, God said to Adam, "Of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat." There was no scarcity at all. "Of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat. But the tree that is in the midst of the garden, you may not eat of it. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die." Now there were two special trees in the garden. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the tree of death. The tree of death. Eat of it, you will die. There was another tree, and it was the tree of life. And if they obeyed God's command and did not eat of the tree of death, they would be admitted to eat of the tree of life and live forever. Now, couldn't have been better for man. I said that to my catechism class one time. It couldn't have been better. And one of the kids raised their hand and said, "Yes, it could have been better." I said, "How do you think it could have been better?" And he said, "It could have been better if God had never allowed Satan in the garden." That would have been better. And I said, you know, not really. Not really. Because you see, God did not make man as a machine. Man is not a machine. You're not a machine. God made man much higher than a machine. God made man with a choice. God wanted man to love Him from his heart. He wanted man to make a free choice. He wanted Adam and Eve to love Him so much that even though Satan did come in the garden, man would have the commitment and love and loyalty and devotion to his father, his friend, that he would say no to Satan. That's what God wanted. That was very important. God wanted man to be 100% for Him, for God, with His body and mind and will. And heart. He wanted man to be able to say to Satan, no. No, 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 no. I cannot do this. Remember how Joseph, who was sold into slavery into Egypt and then tempted by Potiphar's wife, remember what he said when Potiphar's wife tempted him? He said, I cannot do this thing and sin against my God. That's what Adam should have said. And Jesus was tempted too. Only not in a garden. But in a desert. And he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days or 40 nights. Little different than Adam in the garden where you could eat anything you wanted. The whole garden was yours except the tree of death. And what does Adam do when he's given his free choice? He and Eve choose against God. That's what they did. And that's the reason for sin. That's the man God made deformed. The man made. Where did it come from? As the Catechism says, it came from the disobedience, the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our. Notice that we're included in that word, our. It not only poisoned their nature, it poisoned our nature. There's objection to this. There are people who say, that's not fair. It's not fair that we should be charged with Adam's sin. It's absolutely unfair. I'll tell you something, as they say, if I was in the garden, I'd never have done it. I'm not so sure. You know what the Bible says? As in one man sin entered the world, so it passed unto all men, for all have sinned. We were all included in Adam. You say, well, it was such a little thing just eating a piece of fruit. Suppose a person is out in the woods and there's a rattlesnake, and it strikes him. Just two little holes, two little fang marks in his leg. No big deal, just two little fang marks. But into those two fang marks comes poison. And if that person isn't treated immediately, that poison will begin to work through his whole system and he will die. Two little things, two little holes. No big deal. Huge deal. The sin of Adam and Eve in disobeying God is a huge deal, because do you know what it was? It was Adam and Eve not believing God. It was unbelief. Basically, Adam's sin was unbelief. You say, I'm not so sure. Yes, it was. Listen, what did Satan come and say to Eve? Did God say, you may not eat of any tree in this garden? You see, Satan puts a question mark behind what God said. And Eve says, well, no, he didn't say that. He said, you may eat of all the trees of the garden, but this tree in the middle of the garden, you may not eat of it or touch it. That's what she says. God had never said anything about touching it. But Eve makes God's command to touch, not to touch it too. And Satan, once he gets Eve to eat his bait, and enter into a discussion with him, he makes an all-out frontal attack on God Himself. And Satan says, you will not die. You will not die. God had said, you will die. Satan says, you will not die. What did Adam and Eve do? They believed Satan. You know what that was? That was unbelief of God. They didn't believe God. Their friend, their father, who had given them everything, who had put them in control of this earth under Him. They said, you know what? You are a liar! That's what they said. That's why it was such a terrible sin. God said, you will die. Satan said, you will not die. They said, we're following Satan. We're believing Satan. Which means, God, you're lying. You lied to us. Can you see what an enormous sin that was? Doubt. Then a desire. Then a deed of taking it. And eating it. And then death. What a tragedy. How the mighty were fallen. The disobedience of Adam and Eve in paradise. In paradise. So corrupted them. So corrupted us that we are born sinners, corrupt from conception on. Sin entered the human race right here. Sin entered it. And every child born of Adam's race from now on is born with a sinful, corrupt nature and partakes of original guilt and original pollution. original sin. Everyone. That's where sin comes from. David said, when Nathan confronted him with his sin of adultery against Bathsheba and then murder of Uriah, that you are the man. Remember how Nathan did that? And then David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight. I've been corrupt from birth, from the time my mother conceived me. That's when sin enters us, when we're conceived. We're born and conceived in sin. Now, the last question is, is there any hope? Is there any hope? And so that's the question. Are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Yes. Unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. And that's the man remade. God said to Satan, actually, because God came after Adam had sinned and had sowed fig leaves and so on. God said, did you do this? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And you know what Satan, what Adam says. The woman you gave me. Who did Adam blame? He blamed God and he blamed his wife. He says, the woman that you gave me. It's her fault and it's your fault for giving me this woman. What a cop-out. What a terrible answer. Adam was put in conflict between himself and God and between him and his wife. And God says, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is not the place where that conflict has to be. It's not between you and me, Adam. And it's not between you and Eve. It's not between you and your wife. I will put enmity. I'll show you where the enmity has to be. I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman. Between your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel, but he, the seed of the woman, will crush your head. That's where the conflict has to be. And you know what that is called? That's called the antithesis. Light against darkness. Truth against error. Christ against Antichrist. God against the devil. And you and I are involved in this every day of our life. We're involved in choices between following Christ or following the devil. Now, the glorious comfort is this, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And the seed of the woman is no one other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of Eve's daughter, Mary. Now, it wasn't her immediate daughter. It was a long time later. We don't know how many years later, but a long, 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 long time later. Jesus Christ was born of a woman. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem us who were under the law. Do you know what Jesus was willing to do? Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the one who was the Creator of heaven and earth with the Father and the Spirit, He said, I will go. I will go. Philippians 2 said, Jesus Christ did not consider equality with God something to be hung on to, but emptied Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself even to death, the death of the cross. Jesus paid the price of sin, of Adam's sin, of your sin, of my sin, of Eve's sin, the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came. He was the perfect Son of God. He was the last Adam. He stood with God just as Adam stood with God. He is the exact representation of the true and living God. He is the image of God. As God and man in one person. And Jesus came and took our place. And upon Him was laid the sin of the world. And He paid the price of sin, which was death. And Adam never got around, you know, to obey. He never did get around to obey. He lost it all. And Jesus came and He obeyed perfectly. He obeyed God's commands. He obeyed God's command with His mind, with His thought, with His heart, with His strength. With everything. He did exactly what He calls us to do, to love our Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus did it perfectly. Only He was it ever said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's Jesus Christ. And He took our place, and He paid the price, and He set us free. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Today, do you love Him? Have you given your heart to Him? Have you said, "My Lord Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. Come to the Savior." He has called us. He says, "Come and follow Me. And I will give you rest. I will give you comfort. I will give you forgiveness of sins. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ." That's the man remade. It's all God. It's all Him. God is to receive all the glory for the man He made, for redeeming the man made, and remaking us by the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Spirit. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. That's our prayer. And everyone said, Amen.